You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Clip-clop goes the trail, sun is rising high. Two gals in the saddle, neath the big Nevada sky. Laughing and chatting as the desert rolls on by. It's saddle talk, come along for the ride.
Welcome, listeners, to Saddle Talk with Sandy and Kara. Whether you're here to laugh with us, learn, or just ride along, you're in for a really good time. So go grab your helmet or your pooper scooper and settle in with us as we discuss life, horses, of course, and all the unexpected turns along the trail. And hey, whether you're a seasoned cowgirl or you're still learning, remember, we're sharing our own stories and opinions based on decades of personal experience. Always ride safe and check with a professional before trying anything new. Now let's go ride.
Kara.
Hey, Sandy.
How you doing?
Hanging in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a little cranky right now, but I'm okay.
It's okay. It's okay to be cranky. Yeah. I see you.
Thank you.
Well, we're going to have a really cool episode today. We're going to discuss animal communicators.
Yes.
But before we get into that, we would like a pony update on Aspen. How is she since her injury?
My baby girl is doing really well. I actually took the stitches out myself. The veterinarian told me to leave the wrap on for 2 weeks, which I thought was really cool because I feel like when I go to the vet hospital with my cat or my dog, not that I have a cat, but when I go with my dog, they never really have you leave it on that long. Mm-hmm. But I know that you can if you're giving antibiotics. So when I took it off, it was a little juicy. And I thought there was going to be some trout flesh. As a result, when I took the stitches off, I thought, oh, no. Like, here we go. Have you ever had trout flesh?
I have not.
Oh, on your horses. I mean, no. Not you personally.
No. Do you want to give a little explanation as to what that is?
Yeah, it's just scar tissue that grows extra. And it's sort of in response to the environment. And because I had it wrapped, it just kept growing, right? And so then I was worried that it was going to keep on growing because I took the wrap off. And when I looked at it, I thought, oh no, it's about 5 centimeters above her pastern. And it was a blob and it looked really gross. So there's this chemical that you can get like at Tractor that you can put on it to stop the proud flesh. But I didn't have to. I was excited.
That's great. That's awesome. That is so awesome. I'd like to give a little pony update on my shooter. I don't know if I've shared this with everybody. He has a hypersensitivity to bug bites. He gets hives really bad to the point where I have posted it on Facebook. They look like giraffe spots, and mostly because he's got that long hair now because of the winter. It's just awful. And I've tried everything and it's just not, it wasn't going away. So I had him on hydroxyzine and the vet doesn't want me to continue that because it's a sedative and he's already lethargic. I don't want to be out riding him and he falls asleep or has a cardiac arrest because he has a heart murmur. So he switched him over to steroids. And I wasn't very excited about steroids at first because I had read about the side effects.
And of course, one of them being laminitis.
Yes.
And we're both traumatized from laminitis.
Correct. But I bit the bullet. I'm going to keep an eye on the side effects and see, try to see if I can, any signs that start coming up, I can identify them. I know you'll be there to identify anything that happens to him. And in 2 days, they were gone.
Yay. 2 days. That's all it took.
Yes. Two days for them to go away. However, with steroids, he has to stay on them. So he is on them for the long haul. And as far as that is going into my conversation with an animal communicator that you had introduced me to, her name is Lydia Hibby.
Lydia Hibby is a rock star. She's actually a star from, I think, the 90s. She did the whole circuit with
David Letterman.
Oh, I believe it. I think she was on Oprah and something else. That's how I originally saw her as a child. Because I used to run home to watch Oprah. Mm-hmm. Does anybody else out there who can relate to Oprah being queen? I would love to meet Oprah. Mm-hmm. I know that's a tangent, girl, but I feel like Oprah could run the world and we'd all be better for it. Anyways, that's where I first saw Lydia. And then she actually got invited to my barn growing up.
my trainer was having a problem with one of her horses. She was having a training problem, and Lydia actually helped her with it. And then as a young woman, she came to another barn, and this is where I was really sold on Lydia's abilities. She read this man's pet pigeon, and the guy didn't ever keep pigeons. It wasn't like his hobby or anything. And he worked at a power plant. He drove a blue car, and the pigeon did not have a broken bone. And Lydia knew all of it. Yeah. She knew that the bird had landed on the guy's car, and the bird knew to pick that car. I'm speechless, and I talk a lot. Like, it blew my mind. When I was there, they also had somebody read a thoroughbred, one of the off-the-track thoroughbreds, was at a training barn, and I watched that animal go round and round in circles, and the trainer never made any headway. It's actually really depressing. I don't think I told you this. I never told you this. So Lydia read it, and when she walked up to the horse, she put her hand on the horse's head, and she just sort of sympathized with it. And then she started crying.
Aww.
And the horse's head went down, and the horse just stood there with its head down, like on Lydia's person, like on her abdomen. Mm-hmm. She's crying, and she's telling the owners, you're never going to get this horse to be okay. That this horse is just always going to be not okay. Because they love the horse. The trainer was this really cool guy, but they could never get the horse to be anything and do anything. It just kind of went around in circles.
And what did the horse tell Lydia?
Lydia said that when she read the animal, it looked like when you turn on a television and all you see is black and white fuzz.
So static?
Yeah, really? That's all she got.
Oh.
And the horse was in there somewhere. Oh. But like the heart and the soul of the animal had been so drowned out by the racing world that there wasn't any reaching it.
Oh.
And so this horse was just these people's pet. And it was really cool because after that incident, they just never had any ambitions. It was just going to get loved.
Aw, but like, that's not a bad ending to that story.
No, but they stopped trying.
Good.
And the trainer was a very kind man. And I was very happy that in that whole time I knew what he saw. He saw this animal that was very athletic and had this amazing potential to be a hunter. But he never pushed it too far.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. I really have appreciation for that.
Well, I'm a little skeptical of animal communicators. I'm more optimistic if the communicator is actually with the animal. And Lydia was going to read Shooter over the phone.
But why? Why does she have to be there? Why is that a part of your skepticism?
I just feel like that connection the connection is stronger if you're in the vicinity of whatever you're reading.
Okay.
Now, one of the reasons why I am very open to her was basically your pigeon story, and then a story I heard from Darlene about her little horse Magic had been riding with her son, and her son had fallen off, and everybody was okay. No one got hurt. And then Lydia was at the barn with Magic and Darlene, and Magic was obviously being very vocal with Lydia. And Lydia kept saying, okay, 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 Magic. And eventually turned to Darlene and said, your horse wants to know if the little boy is okay.
Aww.
And that just sent shivers down my spine, because there's no way she would have known that level of detail.
From the accident.
Exactly.
Without hearing it from the pony's point of view.
Exactly. And Darlene never said anything, because that wasn't
part of the
gist of their encounter. And that really sold me. So when you told me you also had a reading with her and that the pigeon story, and you were so passionate, I thought, okay, well, let me try. Because Shooter has trauma. Shooter pulls back if he's tied to anything. Well, he pulls back in a very dramatic manner. I have gotten him over that sensitivity. I don't ever heart tie him. He's always on a slip tie. And he doesn't overreact as much as he used to when I first got him.
No, he's a different horse.
He is. However, with cows, he's deathly afraid of cows.
So then,
to the point where his body will radiate energy up through my saddle and into my body. And I actually feel it. And I have never felt that before. So I do know he has some trauma. So I thought, okay, well, let me set up an interview with her and have her. She did not ask me to send any questions. It was my option to send her a picture. So I did. And there you go. And okay. So this next segment coming up is my interview with her reading Shooter. So let's drop in on the conversation.
The horse's barn name or call name that you call him or her every day, please.
Shooter.
Okay. That could be a boy or girl. Don't know what that is. So what is your...
He's a gelding.
Okay.
I've had him for 2 years.
Okay, great. And how old is he now, please?
The vet guesses I'm going to guess 15.
Okay. All right. And then is he a particular breed and color and facial markings?
Well, he looks like a bay, but I think he's a paint, but I don't think it matters.
Well, I have to visualize him.
I'm sorry. I'm happy to send you a picture.
Well, if you want to, but
sure. I was going to send you one ahead of time, but you said you didn't need it, so I didn't want to bother. But no, let me send you a picture of Shooter. Let me know if you need a better picture than that.
All right, let's see. Oh no, that's great. Oh, he's very handsome.
Thank you. Great. Okay,
is this at your place or did he go to the beach?
Darlene actually acquired him from a. I don't want to give you too much information, you know. I'm joking. I'm kind of a joker, even though I may not be funny. I think I am. But she got him from a rescue, and that was in California. It was in Southern California. And then she and I had taken him to Fire Island.
Okay. Oh, gotcha. Okay. Okay. And so is he on your property or at a public or private barn?
He's on my property. He's been at my house for 2 years. I have an acre.
Okay, that's great because some people have horses away. I've had horses both home and away. So let me put in Carson City. So the way it goes is they don't talk in time. They bring things up at random. That's the first part. His name is like the second half of your phone number, if you will. And now I have my map open so I can see. So you're way south of Reno then.
You want my address and you could look at my property?
No, it's fine, hon. Thank you. It just gives me an idea because I have clients internationally. And so I use my iPad to just go all over the place and focus my attention.
Sure.
Okay. So he's a little hesitant. He's like, who is this? And I said, well, I don't know if your mom said that someone would be talking to you. Yeah, that's my mom. And she talks to me just fine. And I said, okay. I said, but, you know, this is kind of interactive. You have, you know, you're able to comment about things. And he goes, there's nothing to comment about. I love her and I'm happy. I said, well, okay. So some animals, the first time I talk to them, they get a little worried and concerned. And that's why I always go to them first to let them express their concerns. But I guess you'll have to start asking your questions because he's a little resident about the whole thing. And I understand that it's the first time. So can I help with them?
Well, I did have a talk with him before I came in here and I told him to talk to you. I told him you were going to be calling him.
Well, a little reserved. That's all.
He has had some past trauma that I don't know what it is. The only thing I glean from him is when he is, you cannot tie him to anything because if something spooks him and he pulls back, he will continue pulling back. Like he does not give to pressure. And it is a pretty substantial fear. And I just would like to know what it was that, and I don't know if you can get this level of detail, but what was it that scared him so bad?
Okay, I will ask him that. And to kind of break the ice with him, I usually ask three quick questions of horses in general. So to see if we can get the ball rolling, because he may not answer that question right away. The first thing I asked him is he happy with his current bit and bridle? And he's like, why are you asking? I said, I have your mom on the phone and it's part of what I ask. And he goes, yes, I'm fine with that. I said, okay, that wasn't so bad. Then I asked him if he's fine with his saddle that you have on him. And he showed me two different ones. So what are you doing with him? Is he just a trail horse? Do you do barrels with him? Like, what's your main division? What do you do with
him? Trail rides. Trail riding.
Okay. Because he did say at some point somebody was doing some barrels with him. And that's the one particular thing other than dressage that they either like or hate. And he really didn't like doing the barrels. Okay. So when I asked him about the trail riding, that was the first time he kind of cracked a smile. And he's like, do we have to do this? And I said, it's only 15 minutes. It's not that long. And I said, maybe there's something you want to ask her. Oh, okay. All right. So he's a little worried, but okay. So, so I said, well, is everything okay at home? Is the food and water good? And he goes, yeah, that's fine. And at some point, because they don't talk in time, he did live temporarily with a couple of pygmy goats, it looks like. So do you have goats at your place?
No.
Okay. Do you have any other kind of livestock or is he the only horse there?
I have two other horses.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay. So, okay. So thank you. So I flashed to him about pulling back and he kept turning away. Like, I don't know if I want to talk about that yet. So I guess I'll have to circle back to it. So then I said, well, let's talk about the trail riding. And again, he kind of softened and he goes, I really love it. And he volunteered because later in a couple of minutes, I'll do a full body scan, but he is average eyesighted. Thank God he's not nearsighted because that would be kind of difficult, but he's average eyesighted. And so he does rely on that and certainly his sense of hearing and everything. A nearsighted horse, as a contrast, wouldn't want to go out without tailgating somebody else because in nature, that's caught up and they stay together. So to kind of give you some insight on it. And farsighted horses are a little bit better because they can ride totally independently of any other horse. But he said, no, I like, you know, if there's a couple other horses around or if my owner is going to be on point with me and not just a passenger, which he said you are, you're looking out for him. And that's kind of rare for him initially. So I should back it up. Not all animals have been animals before. He has been. Not all horses have been horses before. He has been. But his last time, he said he was a draft horse and all he had to do was pull a cart or a carriage. So then when I asked him about coming into this lifetime, so I took him back to when he was a baby and he was willing to talk about that. So when he finally, you know, was after his birth and he finally got up on his wobbly legs to take a drink, the first thing he did was look down and he was like, oh, good. Okay, I've done this before. So he saw his hooves. And then the second thing he was waiting for is to find out, believe it or not, how he was going to pee, because I guess the last time he was a girl and he did not.
Okay.
So when he first peed, he was like, oh, I'm peeing down below again. Amen, brother. So he loved that. and he said his horse mother was very loving and it was pretty what you would hope idyllic for most horse people. Like there was a decent green pasture, not huge ones, but actually it feels like, because I lived in SoCal for 38 years, he feels like he was more close to San Diego because I can smell the beach and he was there for a little while. Uh-huh. And so upbringing was good. So then I asked him, like when he was finally, I don't like the word broke as 67-year-old horse person. Day one, it triggers me. So I said, whoever started him. And he said, yeah, it was a decent cowboy who's like, okay, you know, and because he had been a horse before, they kind of took his cooperation in a good way. So that was good. And then he didn't expect to stay with his mother. Some animals are like, I thought they'd never sell me or whatever, but he's like, no, no. And then the first person that had him looks like, so I'm 67. Everyone's younger or older than me.
Right.
Like a girl that wanted to do Gymkhana first, which he was okay with, like the pole bending and all that kind of stuff. But then she wanted to move up to barrels like a lot of people. And he said he got very frustrated. And that is one sport where, and you probably know this, if you're not sitting where you're supposed to sit over their shoulders, they cannot turn.
Right.
And he said, that's what happened. Whoever was helping her was not coaching her appropriately because I used to teach pony club kids. And he said, so he kept hitting and knocking the barrels and he said, forget it. All right. So she got very frustrated. And I guess it's going to lend into what you were asking. And normally most horses that get taken up to a trailer and they're going to get tied internally, they're like, oh good. If I'm really lucky, you'll give me some hay and leave me alone. So she tied into the trailer. There were a couple other horses, but to his left, so his mounting side, two horses started getting into a battle for some reason. And he found out that he couldn't get away. And that's why it's so dramatic for him. I mean, instead of her having one of those slide through things, I had them on my trailer where
at least I have them too. Yeah.
so you get the whole deal. So that's why it was so intense, because it was nothing that someone did to him directly, but these two other horses were really, they were like rearing and going after each other. He's like, it's like you come up to a crash site and you're like, I got to get the blank out of here kind of thing. All right. So, so what do we do about it? So I was just writing down what was going on. Okay. So are you familiar with EFT or tapping? T-A-P-P-I-N-G. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
Okay, so there was a VHS tape. That's how long I've been doing this. I wish I had a link for it. I think you could probably search something on the internet, but in any event, so like, what do you normally do? Does he ground tie and you can trust him? Or?
Oh, no, I used one of those slip throughs. I use a ring, you know, the ring you just, okay, so when something spooks him and he pulls back, then it just slides through.
Okay, perfect. All right. But still, there could be a time, like I had to evacuate for the fires, we didn't have a chance, or, you know, what if you had to do something quickly? It would still be good, and for his own safety, to feel more confident about it. So you would set him up for success. You'd have the trailer, you know, either standing or on blocks or something like that. And I don't know how long of a rope, because I used to do, I still do Pirelli, my horse is retired, but I had a 22-foot line, and that was somewhat of his issue too, because he's farsighted and they don't like being up close. But anyway, I'm standing next to you, he's just standing there quietly, and then you would start to, you know, step back, and then once he starts to realize, like, oh, when you see a little bit of adrenaline coming up, and it's one of those sweet spots that you have to kind of really somewhat plan for, and then quietly, without saying anything to him, you take your three middle fingers and start tapping on his withers, and you tap like maybe 12 or 15 times very quickly in succession. And so what happens in that moment, when his brain is just starting to get the adrenaline, as you tap, you're releasing endorphins into his brain. So that first rush, they just kind of freeze for a second, totally freeze, and they don't blink. Nobody warned me about that when I saw the VHS tape a million years ago, but almost every animal, including dogs, do this. And so I always tell people, be prepared for that. And when that happens, you just hold the space. You stand there, don't say anything, let him feel what it's like to always have the adrenaline, but now being in a relaxed state. And after a moment or two, you'll get it a release, which the three things you could think of, they'll either blow out or yawn, or
their lips.
Shiver. And then they'll look at you and go, okay, that was interesting. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. And then what I would suggest is you just, you know, slide out and then walk him around for 5 or 10 minutes. And when he starts to come into himself, and then you take him back there again, and then you have a second crack at the apple. And so that's the first couple of things you do. And you only do it twice in a day, and it works for people as well, because the brain can't keep going back and forth. You know, I had a gal yesterday, and she's like, oh, I've got 15 things here. And I'm like, well, you better plan two at a time. So that's one thing you could work with him. When I was a show groom, which I was before I moved to California, I was doing hunter jumpers and stuff. I always kept using the term step up, because everybody's like, don't back or something. But animals are so only in the present. They, whatever you say, that's the image they get. You can't do don't, won't, can't. And so when I say step up, and because I was dealing with a lot of crazy thoroughbreds off the track, they would just follow that picture and take a step forward, and they release themselves. And then I was able. So whatever you choose as your wording, that's totally up to you, but just know that they're in the positive. Okay, so I can feel him internally yawning. And the next place he wanted to take me to is his right TMJ, the offside, has a tendency to slip in and out. So my chiropractor in San Diego, Dr. Cheryl, was the one who really talked to me about it, because this was my horse's problem. And so I ended up teaching him to put his head over my shoulder so I could take my two thumbs and put both of his TMJ joints in. But I asked her once, after I got to know her and told her what I did and everything, I said, well, have you ever, with all the horses that she treats, ever felt that bone slip in? And she said, truthfully, no. And I tell people that, because it's such a tiny bone. But what she gets as feedback is the same release, right? So it would be good every once in a while for you to take your thumbs and do a thumbs up, and then turn your thumbs in and go below those ears on either side. That's the first thing she said
to me. I think I would probably have a chiropractor show me how to do that, because I really have no clue what you're talking about.
Okay.
Yeah.
So take your thumb below your ear in that indentation.
Yeah.
That is say, okay, that's where your jaw hinges on. And so they have the same thing. But that little bone that's in there, if it shifts out ever so slightly, think of it about your, like your tires are out of alignment and they're slowly going out of alignment. And the other thing she said you can also look for is as you're doing your normal picking out their feet, the front feet, if you go to pick out either one of their front feet and you notice on the outside edge of their hoof wall, there's more wear, whether he's barefoot or he has plates, that also is starting to tell you that they're slowly going out of alignment. And the other way that people notice this then is when they go to load a horse, whether it's in a bumper pull or a slant, that all of a sudden they don't want to go in, or they don't want to go in the front or the middle or the side or something like that. Because again, it's for them to get in a trailer. We know it's already a cave. But when they're in there, they feel like it's an elevator out of control.
Oh, and so he has no problem getting into the trailer. Right. He gets in and stands right. Just fine.
But that was the next thing he said to me. When he had this incident with those two horses, his right TMJ was out. So sometimes it can slip back. He brought it up. Okay. And so thankfully you don't have problems now, but you know, it is what it is. Okay. All right. So I can do a body scan on him. Is there anything else you wanted to know about him?
Yeah. I wanted to know if there's any particular kind of animals that he's afraid of or anything.
Okay. He said, he didn't say longhorn cattle, but a cow that had horns on him. He just showed me that, like this gal was trying to maybe do a little bit of, not team penning. I mean, these are adults. They're not,
Yeah.
I don't know my cows very well, except for dairy cows, because I worked at a dairy barn. But he said cow that had some horns on, he came around the corner and he was like, whoa, what do I do about that? You know?
Okay.
So even though he's about 15-ish in the age that he is, he's had sporadic life moments. And then other times he was just standing around. So I asked him about why he was at the rescue. And he looked at me like, I don't know. So
yeah.
I don't if they said he was an owner surrender or what the deal was, but certainly I don't think any horse needs to be at that situation, but that's reality of life. But yeah. He didn't do anything negative. He didn't say to me, well, I reared a lot or I bucked
right,
a lot.
Right. Okay. And then there is, does he say that he had anything damaging done to his body? Like, is there a particular part of his body that hurts him or that he doesn't like touch?
Okay. So I saw the spot on his withers and that's probably from an old saddle.
He's got a matching one on the other side.
Okay. Well, so he's like, so for a while, the whatever saddle they had just didn't fit him. So he's not complaining about it now. All right. So let's do the body scan. It's a perfect time to do that. So the way it was taught to me, the way I teach my students, and the best way to explain to both of you now, the first thing I always do is I ask his permission, and he's like, for what? And I said, because I would like to step inside you and do it from the tip of your nose to your tail. And he's like, oh my God. Like, and he's not a young soul and he's been a horse before, but he's also not a really older soul. So he's kind of, if he was a guy, he'd be walking around pacing going, I don't know if I want to do that. So if your mom paid for it, I said, it's not going to hurt you. I'm at least 3,000 miles away from you. Okay. I said, I'm a horse lover from day one. I said, all we're doing is just taking an internal picture. And so I can still feel like, oh my God. So I let him kind of digest that for a second. And the second thing I need to say to you is, as a disclaimer, I'm not a vet. I was a vet tech for 18 years. I worked at 8 across the United States. I worked at the first holistic clinic. I was a show groom, etc. But I have to say that as a disclaimer. So.
Yeah. Okay.
So I felt him turn around and he goes, are we done? I said, no, we haven't done the body scan. And he's like, I said, we could have been done by now. And he's like, I said, it doesn't take that long. I said, come on. So he's like, okay. And then he stopped me and I said, what? And he goes, he said, this is going to make me very emotional. He said, please tell my mom I love when she kisses me because nobody else did it before she came along.
Aww.
So he really loved that. Because a lot of people, I mean, most of my clients are animal lovers, but there are a lot of people that are curious and they can transform themselves. So he's never, except for his horse mom licking him, he hasn't had that kind of physical touch. So he just wanted you to know how special that is to him. Okay, so he's like, all right, I'll do it for her. I said, good. So I asked his permission. He gave it. I jumped in. I said, all right, so you're being very brave. Okay, I don't know. What do you want to know? So I asked him now, because this is normally when the eyesight came in. And being a vet tech in 1978, they didn't tell me that this happens. But he is average sighted. So he sees about 8 to 10 feet in front of him. As a contrast, my horse sees about 15 feet because he's farsighted.
Okay.
And so, but I asked him in that moment, really what I'm doing is getting an idea. I asked him if he ever had any kind of headaches. He said no. I asked him about his peripheral vision. It's actually pretty good. He said one time, besides this, the other two horses fighting, there was another situation where he got turned out. Nobody paid attention because it was the first time he was with this other horse. And this other horse went to kick him, and he kind of lifted his head up and swung to the right to avoid it. And he did it so quickly that his atlas is fine, but his axis in C3, he has some tension there. And I can see from the picture, thankfully, his mane lays on one side. But if any time going forward his mane would split, or you ever see them rub their mane, Dr. Cheryl always says they're also trying to adjust themselves. Oh. And so, which he brought up about that. I asked him about his teeth, and he said, all good there, no worries. I said, fine. And then I went down to his digestion, and unless you have him on something for an ulcer, he feels pretty comfortable there. He also said water is pretty, not so much clean, because we would expect you to do that, but it's decent enough that he's drinking more water since he's been with you than at some of the other places. And I said, okay, fine. And then in the dimples of their chest, those are respiratory acupressure points. And he said he's okay there. And his heart and lungs seem good. And then when I got to where his girth is, so where we put the girth is a respiratory acupressure point. It runs from one elbow all the way down around their belly to the other elbow. And he said in the past, he has been somewhat girth sore and cinchy and things like that. Is he doing that with you now?
Not now. In the beginning, he would, right, when I would pull the cinch around, that would trigger him to pull back. So that would make sense. Yeah.
Okay. So far with,
but it's gotten better, because I've just gone slower. Sometimes I untie him and he'll let me, finish cinching him up untied, So, yeah.
Okay, perfect. I love that. Yeah, because at least the pulling back didn't have to do with that particular thing, but that's great that you do that. I love that. Okay, so his ribs are fine. I checked. So heart and lungs are good. And I have to remind myself there's 100 feet of intestine in there all the time. And he said, yeah, I'm pooping fine. I said, okay. And then I asked him to go down his front legs. And he said there was a while before you that he had some contracted heels, and I don't feel them now. So he's happy with how his feet are being done. And then I went up along his back, and yeah, the two spots where his withers are, that's just a blemish now, because it wasn't that long. And in fact, it's when she started doing Gymkhana, then she switched when she did the barrels. And so that was a saddle that did not fit him at all. And
it
was
okay.
A couple of times, if that was it. And then I went along his whole back. And so his SI joint, his sacral joint, sits where it is, but he's got smaller kidneys. That's not a bad thing. But when we say, as horse people, and you probably have heard this, a horse has a cold back in holistic medicine, which I do more than anything else, liver is anger, kidneys is fear. And so because he had that episode with the two horses and stuff, and there'll be times where he'll just kind of steady himself, but he kind of realized that you're back there to support him, which he's never had that before. And before, he would just like want to turn and not bail all the way to leave, but just like, maybe I'll get out of here. But you have a friendship and a relationship with him now that he's never had with anybody. So his kidneys are smaller. So I know it gets hot there because, of course, I've been to Las Vegas and stuff. So do you, when you go out on in the summertime, do you give him electrolytes, or you don't ride that long, or you go in the evening?
You know what? In the summertime, we always ride early in the morning when it's cooler outside. And that way they're just sitting around and when it's hot.
Good. That's what I thought you did. Thank you. Okay. All right, so his hips feel fine. His hocks are good. I checked his stifles. That's all good. And at 15, he doesn't have so many hours like you think of horses at 2 or 3. They go to futurities and they're broken, ridden. And he doesn't have a lot of miles on his meter. So on the one hand, that's good because nobody's really abused him. He's been standing around. And also, you can make him into your horse, which is what you've done in a really lovely way. Right. So So that's all good. Okay. Well, I ran over, but I wanted to be thorough. Okay, hon. Well, I hope that helps you, and I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Okay?
Well, if he had, because he has a heart murmur, so that wouldn't be something that would have popped up?
So here's the thing that they're not aware of it, first off.
Oh.
And other than, it also is in dogs and cats as well. It's just something good for you to know going forward. And a lot of times it doesn't show up until they're much older that they vets can actually hear it.
Oh.
So so for him, it's not uncomfortable. Thankfully, he's not in Anaheim pulling a carriage in the heat. You know,
Of course. And then the other thing too, I was kind of hoping that he would tell you this because he has a scar on his nose. It's like mm-hmm. a break, like he had broken his nose or something. And I just was hoping that he would share that with you so that I knew that that was what happened because I don't know.
Okay. So it was not done by another animal. And for a short time, they did a tie down with him and he was resisting it. And so that's why he's not complaining about it, because he's assuming it was his reaction to it. Not anything, like he doesn't understand a tie down is going to cause that kind of resistance. He was just trying it. And so I expanded I can see it. And he goes, so that doesn't have a toxic scar. A toxic scar is anything else that happened to him that he wouldn't want to have happen to him. And it left him. It was just, that's, yeah.
All right. So. Well, thank you so much for your help. And I may call you again for a different animal. I appreciate that.
Good, hon. Take good care.
Okay. You too. Bye.
Okay, so we just got done, and I'm interested to hear what you think of the interview with Lydia.
For me, I thought she was spot on.
Really?
On a few things that are just more than coincidental, and my takeaway is that Lydia still got the goods.
Yeah?
Yes.
You want to give me something specific that you picked up on?
Well, I know that he has that fear about cattle. I think she was spot on and did not have any prompting from you.
None. All she knew was that he was afraid of a particular animal. It could have been dogs. It could be pigs. It could be goats. And it wasn't his cows. And she, and what made me go, maybe she's on it, is because not only does she mention a cow, she mentions a cow with long horns.
Mm-hmm.
And that totally could have been wherever he was tied, whether it was to a trailer. I don't know about the other two horses getting into it and then bumping him at a trailer and causing his trailer tie issues. But he was obviously tied to something. And the fact that if a cow came towards him and he freaked and it hurt him, that makes sense to me.
What about the TMJ? Have you ever noticed that? For him? Because I feel like she mentioned it sort of at the beginning.
He does not take a bit.
Okay.
And he has a bad dead tooth in the front.
So you're thinking that maybe TMJ could be a part of that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. And I did not pick up on that. So thank you for pointing that out.
Yep. I had a mare that had TMJ and I know how to massage it because I feel like there was a section where she was trying to tell you and you were really cute. You were like, I don't really know what you're talking about right now.
She was also talking about tapping.
Oh, yeah. I want to try the tapping. That's a really cool method.
I don't know, but I'm not going to use it for teaching him to tie to a trailer because I am never tying that boy.
Oh,
I'm never hard tying that boy.
You shouldn't.
No.
Because I've seen him freak out and he is going to, I think he's going to be just a horse that you put up with that situation and you always soft tie. Because when he pulls back, it's not like he runs. He doesn't go anywhere.
No. And he always looks so sad. Like, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I had a moment. And he always comes back and he's like head low and he's like, please forgive me.
I think the word for him is instead of being dominant, he's the opposite.
Yeah.
He's just like this little sweet boy.
He's like Eeyore.
He is. He's so cute.
Yeah.
Okay. So then I think that brings me to the question about kissing, because I felt like you got emotional in the interview. Do you often kiss him?
I kiss him.
You do?
I kiss all my horses. Yeah. I give them kisses all the time.
That must be a green flag for you that she knew that.
But wouldn't a lot of
no.
pet owners kiss their horses?
No.
You don't kiss your horses?
No. I have not kissed Armani in the face. He's trying to
eat me. Not him. Not yet. No.
He tries to eat me.
But what about Aspen?
Aspen, I
guess.
You give
Aspen kisses.
Yeah. Probably not kisses the way I used to give Bot, though.
And just so everyone knows, I do not kiss my horses on the nose. We have been at a barn where a woman was kissing a horse on the nose that was in cross ties, and something set that horse off, and that horse bit her nose off.
Yeah, that was not good.
I will never do that. I'll give like kisses on the... We did. Yeah. I give kisses on the cheek or on the head. So, okay. I'll be open to that one.
Okay. Another thing that she brought up I thought was pretty cool was that she knew he was Cinchy in the past and that he wasn't Cinchy necessarily now. And I felt like that went along with your history of him.
Well, it could also go along with him pulling back. Because there are times when I go to cinch him, it's a trigger. It has been a trigger when I first got him. That as soon as I go to cinch him, he pulls back. So there you go. You just opened my mind.
Okay.
Because he isn't cinchy by definition of cinchy horses. But when he has had episodes of pulling back, it has been when I have started cinching up.
Okay. And if you think about our training with Jessica, when you go to cinch a horse, it's just a feeling of restriction, and that actually ties along with being squeezed.
Yes.
So it's a feeling of entrapment.
Yes.
So maybe that feeling of entrapment is more along the line of like what he's experiencing.
Yes.
Cinchy-wise.
Yes.
And maybe with him being able to pull back or be freestanding when you cinch him, it just gives him a sense of relief.
Because you notice I do that a lot.
All the time you untie him before you cinch him.
I know.
Okay.
So there you go.
Thank you. Yeah. She knew about that.
She knew about that.
And then I feel like she knew that you treated him well in the heat. There was some mention of working out in the heat, and you said that we ride in the morning, and it's true. I think we're very aware about
Well, I think we have to be up here.
Yeah.
Not so much in California, but up here, yes.
See, and I thought you were doing it for me. I hate riding in the heat.
I grew up riding. I hate riding in the heat as well. I don't like it at all, and I hate the fact that the horses are probably miserable.
Miserable.
So no, I'm doing it for you, for me, and the horses.
Thank you, friend. Because I think I would rather get up at 4 a.m. than ride in 4 p.m.
Correct.
And so I think that was honestly one of the things that sold me on our relationship was that you're a morning person.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and at the barn that we were at, we had a trailer everywhere. So you were the one that with the trailer. So I was going to get up whatever time you told me to.
Thank you.
Yes.
See, look where it led.
I know.
So this leads me to my last point about her being so intuitive. He didn't have a lot of miles compared to a normal horse. So she knew that about him. But she also knew that you turn him into your horse because he didn't have a lot of miles, that it was sort of a win-win for both of you, that he kind of sat in a pasture for a while. And when I think about when you first got him versus how he acts now, you really have turned him into your horse.
Yes.
Because she knew that.
Yes. Yes.
And you could have been calling her for anything. You could have been calling her for sickness, for rearing, for all of these things that could go on in a horse's life. And I feel like she got you spot on. And I felt like you were searching for the nose break.
I was so searching for the nose break. Well, and actually, I think I do remember saying something about his broken nose. And she said, well, it must not have been too traumatic because he's not giving me anything. Mm-hmm. So it must not be a big deal.
Because he felt it was his fault.
And I thought to myself, you need to feel that break. That had to be a big deal. That I cannot believe that was not a big deal. The other thing that I was like, no, is when she did the internal body check.
Oh, the body scan.
The body scan. I don't know. I he has a heart murmur. I know that we've discussed. A horse isn't going to know it has a heart murmur. I don't know. I just thought that was kind of over the top.
Well, I can tell you as someone with a pretty major heart murmur, and backwash of my heart, because I am the, you know, pillar of health.
Right.
Exactly. Totally.
Healthy as a horse.
Totally healthy as a horse. I also not just have the murmur, but I've broken my nose multiple times. Four times on my own.
To be exact. Multiple.
I've had to have 2 surgeries in my life to reconstruct my nose. Oh. I left my Italian cute bridge. Mm-hmm. I love my Italian nose. And I do not remember breaking my nose as a big deal. Like, just so you know, I know that sounds stupid and I'm like a human.
It's not stupid.
But when I think about the injuries in my life, there's really only one that stands out to me. So I don't know if an injury in a horse's life, like breaking a nose, would maybe be a big deal because I feel like they get hurt all the time.
Well, the good thing
I hope
about
that gives you perspective.
The good thing about the break in his nose is it tells me exactly where the rope halter should sit.
It goes right there in the den.
Right there. You know, I would really be interested if anybody listening to this episode has any experience with animal communicators, whether it's a horse or a dog or a cat. We would love to hear from you. Please visit our Facebook page, like us, follow us, and give us your comment. Even if you haven't had an animal communicator, after you listen to the episode, let us know what you think.
And I want to know your animal communicator stories. And if you feel comfortable posting your animal communicator's information, please do.
Yes.
Because I am open to other communicators
we
as well.
We are. And at first I wasn't sure if I'd ever do another one, but maybe I shall do one. I would love to do one on Max. You know, trying to find out what his story is. And I'd love to hear about, I'd love someone to do an internal body scan on him because I think sometimes he's got that arthritis. But, anyway. Well, thank you, Kara.
If anyone wants to reach out to Lydia for a reading themselves, we'll put it in the show notes. And you can find her on her website, which is just the LydiaHibby.com website with her name on it. And to sign up, you sign up in 15 or half hour increments. You can do more than one animal. And it's a very reasonable price. She's excellent about scheduling because I had to reschedule like 3 times, I think.
And she's very flexible.
She is. Sorry. Well, right. I hope you have a good day, friend.
Thank you. You too. Toodles.
Love you. Toodles.
Hey, friends. That's the end of today's ride. We hope you enjoyed listening. Don't forget to follow Saddle Talk with Sandy and Kara wherever you get your podcasts. Please leave us a review, share us with a friend, and saddle up with us next time as we ride through more stories, questions, and our wild tangents. Till then, friends, keep your boots dusty and your hard hats on. We hope to see you out on the trail.
Sandy and Kara stirrups swinging free, talking about life and love and mystery. From coyotes to coffee, they'll cover it all with the sagebrush blowing and the wild birds call. So cinch up your boots, we're hitting the track. Saddle Talk's on and we're not.